right, thank you for that, Crisscross Applesauce. It is Tuesday in our first hour. That means it is time to do a little sailing talk with Karen Lyle, my co-host here for the segment with SailSportTalk.com. Karen in her home, not too far from where I am in the East Bay. How you doing, Karen?
I'm doing just great. I've been up since early morning because I've been talking to the East Coast, you know?
Well, let's stay on the East Coast and let's bring in our first guest, Pat Kennedy. Pat Kennedy is with the Ida Lewis Yacht Club in Newport, Rhode Island, and we're here to talk about the distance race, which is going to be happening August 15th and 16th. And I guess, Pat, you could kind of rename it the social distance race. It's a weird year for it, isn't it?
Yes, it's going to be an interesting year. But following the guidelines set by the state of Rhode Island, we've had to make some modifications to the race, but I think we're still going to be able to honor the tradition of the distance race with an offshore component. And then we're going to go family friendly, if you will, for the social distance part of the protocols as laid out by the state. So we're going to keep a shorter race in the bay for our PHRF classes.
Pat, what is happening with other races in that area? Are you one of the first ones to start up?
We are racing sort of as we entered our phase three about 2 weeks ago. Some of the bay racing got started again. So some of the local, but it's much different than normal. You know, the first couple of weeks it was family only on the boats. That's been relaxed now. So by the time we get to the Ida distance race, it'll really be one of the first of the premier events that has not been canceled. So we're looking forward to that. We're seeing a lot of interest already. Janot has come in to be a named sponsor for the race with their SunFast 33. And so we're very excited about the opportunity ahead of us while maintaining the protocols that are needed in this day and age.
You know, when I saw Ida Lewis Yacht Club, I was curious as to why you picked that name. And so I looked her up. An incredible story about a woman in the 1800s who was not just a lighthouse keeper, but would row out and save dozens of sailors. I mean, it's really a heroic story that I think more of us should know about.
It's a fascinating yacht club. The club itself is the old lighthouse, which sits in the middle of the harbor. So it's a spectacular venue. We actually finished the race right off the club. So it's it makes for a great finish line. But, yeah, the club's got a very unique history, and we're very proud of it.
What is it that you're doing differently this year? We covered your race last year, and now you have some new things that are happening. Can you tell us about that?
Right. So we didn't know where we would be come race time. As far as, you know, the pandemic goes. So, you know, would we be still under phase one guidelines where, you know, we really couldn't go sailing? Would we be in phase two where it was a limited number and only family? Or would we be in phase three where we could have up to 15 on a boat as long as it was a consistent crew and they were sailing together all summer and they've, you know, vetted themselves, if you will, and are following safety protocols, you know, on the boat, wearing masks, trying to stay distance when can, et cetera. So there's sort of three ways this could go, and we weren't sure. So what we decided was we anticipated that we'd be able to have family members sailing. So knowing that some boats would be a little bit tricky to handle for just a small family, we decided to keep it in the bay and make it, you know, family friendly and do about a 30-mile course, which will take most of the afternoon to do and have everybody back that night. Our double-handed boats, especially with the interest now in the mixed crew double-handed Olympic class, we decided that they meet all the criteria. No matter which phase we're in, we can get a double-handed class going offshore. So we plan to do just that. And then our IRC race group, with current guidelines, we can get those guys into an offshore course as well. So it's going to be a bit of a two-stage race. One, we'll get the offshore boats going, send them out the bay. Traditionally, they do a course up and down Rhode Island Sound, going all the way over to Montauk and Buzzards Bay and back and whatnot. And then the in the bay race is going to go around the major islands in the bay and come back to Ida Lewis. So it gives everybody something to do. It gets everybody out on the water. And it, we think we've covered the bases as far as handling protocols. We still don't know about an award ceremony yet. Are we going to have the boats anchored around the club and do it via loudspeaker and deliver the prizes and ribs? Or are we going to, you know, be able to have, you know, people up to the deck and more, a more traditional type of event? But we'll work it out as we get there. And people are starting to get excited. We've got some great entries already, so we're looking forward to it.
Couple more questions here for Pat Kennedy at the Ida Lewis Yacht Club about the distance race. I've always been interested in Newport, Rhode Island, because my father went there for Officers Candidate School, and he was in the Navy, and he talked about learning some sailing basics when he was in Newport with the OCS. But just the history, I know that, you know, Rochambeau and the French helped us in the Revolutionary War there. I know that, you know, Eisenhower and Kennedy would go there. We have a statue, or I should say a big obelisk here in Union Square in San Francisco to Commodore Perry, and I know that that he lived there. Everywhere you turn around, you're bumping into history there, aren't you?
Yes, it's a very unique place. You know, one of the older trading ports, you know, on the East Coast, so a lot happened here. The British occupied it for a good part of the Revolutionary War. So, yeah, the our fort is Fort Adams. It's one of the largest colonial forts, you know, on the East Coast. And you're right, the history here is amazing. And everywhere you turn around, there's the Eisenhower House on the hill just over the hill from where Ida Lewis is. And that was the summer White House for Eisenhower. The War College is absolutely in view of the Yacht Club. But we look just north from the club, and we're looking right at the War College. So a lot of history, a lot to do here, and the sailing has always been spectacular. One of the reasons the America's Cup was always held here, you know, the sea breeze comes in, you know, by noon every day, and we've got a beautiful, you know, southwesterly breeze and great sailing almost every day of the summer. So it's a perfect sailing place, and appropriately named the sailing capital of the U.S., so.
Well, I had my ancestor, Ralph Earle, sailed in on the Griffin in 1632 into Aquanizek Island, and he was one of the founding fathers there. And so it's really quite I love the history that's developed over the years. I've been here on the East Coast, my family, since about the mid-1800s, but you guys are going so strong, and now we're connected through sailing, which is just amazing. If you were going to say that there was one thing that really excites you about this race, what would it be?
Well, the sailing venue, it is just a spectacular place to sail, and doing an overnight race is always fun. For those who don't do it often, you know, it's a unique experience. For the guys who do a lot of offshore racing, it's a great race course. And it seems to be just the right length. You know, we get everybody off, they get a great night of sailing. They're back in usually no later than midday the next day. The long course for us is around 170 plus miles. We tend to fall into that 140, 50 mile course a lot of years based on weather, but we adjust the course every year to plan for the weather and get everybody back at a good time. And it's just it's a great night of sailing. And then the venue for, you know, the awards and the social side of it are always spectacular. It'll be a little different this year, but we're making plans for that. And we just think it's one of the premier races on the East Coast, and we're very proud of it. So looking forward to it again.
We just have about a minute. Last question for you. Can you just talk about some of the different classes? Because I know you've introduced a mixed double-handed class this year, right?
Right. Traditionally, we've had the race boats tend to sail under IRC. So we have a class for, you know, the traditional race boats. We encourage both our club members and other members from clubs around the bay to partake in the race. And because of the large PHRF fleet in the bay, we keep a PHRF class, and we break that into a larger group and a smaller group, so we can make sure that they get around the course in time, and they're not competing, you know, small boats against big boats. You know, sometimes it gets a little frustrating, so we've worked to keep that. The introduction to the mixed double-handed helps. We've always had a double-handed class, and now with the mixed doubles, you know, it just adds to that. So we try to make it have a little something for everyone. We're even getting some interest in multi-hulls. We've got some, I think we're going to get some trialing, foiling trimarans out this year, and perhaps the Mostrom 32 catamarans. So a little bit of everything. We'll set a course up to keep everybody entertained and happy, and keep the integrity of our offshore distance race as well.
There he is, Pat Kennedy from the Ida Lewis Yacht Club, the distance race. You can find out more. Go to ilyc.org. Pat, thanks for your time. Looking forward to the race. Have a lot of fun, and we'll catch up down the road.
Absolutely, and we'll stay in touch and follow up accordingly.
All right, very well. And speaking of that race, Karen, coming up next, we have a man who is from Juneau, which we were just talking about. And before we go, though, did you get out on the bay for the 4th of July?
No, I went before that. And so I went around Angel Island and had a great sail, but it wasn't actually on the 4th of July. It was just a couple of days before.
So you went on the Bulgarian Independence Day.
Well,
all right,
you know.
I'm Rick Tuttle with Karen Lyle. Come on back on Sports Byline.
Mom and Dad are such a loving pair, but the house where they jump when the tempers flare. They promise to love till death do them part. I wonder if my parents will ever be apart. My mommy's job is a knife. I thrill to see.
This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and I'm here with Bruce Crisp of the Vallejo Yacht Club in California. Bruce, you texted me a link to a video with the musicians of the Oakland Symphony performing Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land, just as you were going out sailing. I loved it. How did you do that performance during the pandemic, with the symphony season canceled and every musician staying in place in their own home?
Each of the 44 musicians recorded their audio and video at home, or in some cases even hiked out into the forest with their instruments to record. They then uploaded their audio and video files of their playing and singing. I took those 176 files and edited, mixed, and mastered them into our finished video with the goal of making it sound like we were playing in the same room together using Logic Pro and Final Cut Pro on my iMac computer. Each of the musicians were paid for their time to record, and we're hoping to do more of these videos in the near future.
Bruce, thank you so much for sharing that. I especially love that the video performance was made possible by the Calvin Simmons Center for the Performing Arts, courtesy of Conway Jones Jr. To our listeners, visit SailsportTalk.com to see this great video and hear the entire song. This Sailsport Talk recognition ad was brought to you by All Bay Collision. Over 60 years of experience in auto restoration and body repair for autos, buses, fleet accounts, and more. For the San Francisco Bay and Tri-City area, call 510-489-1313, 510-489-1313. All Bay Collision is a member of the ITEX Barter community, where your ITEX dollars are welcome.
Driving through the San Francisco Bay and Tri-City area, All Bay Collision is a one-stop shop including full detail wash and steam clean of engines, auto restoration, and auto body repair for cars, SUVs, buses, ambulances, box trucks, big rigs, fleet accounts, and fiberglass repair. Tow available. With over 60 years of experience, you are in good hands. Visit allbaycollision.com or call 510-489-1313 or 510-825-4727.
Sailing takes me away. Do I always earn things of me? All right, Yacht Rock, as we rock on with SailSportTalk.com. Rick Tittle and Karen Lyle with you on Sports Byline, coast to coast, around the world on American Forces Radio Network. You might remember at the beginning of this hour, I had from the Discovery Channel, Mike Rowe. So let's go to Mike Coe. Mike is a veteran offshore racing sailor and is the product specialist for Juneau America, who just happens to be the presenting partner of the aforementioned Ida Lewis social distance race. Mike, welcome to the show. What does that mean when you're the presenting partner?
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, it means that we've come on board with the Ida Lewis distance race as the title sponsor, just to make sure that the event is as good as it can possibly be. You know, they're helping us promote some of our new products, and we're helping them promote the race, and we're looking forward to growing the sport of sailing together.
You know, Mike, I'm looking at a photograph on our website at sailsporttalk.com that has you and a little girl. Is that your daughter, and is that the boat anchor locker that you're sitting on top of?
No, that's not me. Well, excuse me, no, that is me, but that's not my daughter. I'm very lucky to work with a young woman named Catherine Guiadere. We are not married, but she has just the most beautiful family. And they come sailing with us all the time, and we love getting the kids involved.
You know,
I
think about...
Sorry, go ahead.
So usually Rick and I alternate, and I just couldn't resist, and I stepped in. So tell us about the boat that you have designed here and how that plays in the Ida distance race and also the upcoming Olympics.
Sure, yeah. So what's going on right now in the world of sailing, especially in the U.S., is we're seeing the double-handed discipline growing as the Olympics have announced the 2024 games are going to have that discipline as part of the game. And so the 3300 is our entry in sort of the competition to have our boat selected to be used in that Olympic event. And what we're hoping to do with it in the United States is kind of, you know, ride the wave, get people excited about double-handed racing, and just kind of help the sport grow and bring it mainstream in the U.S. Being a 33-footer, it's a great size. It's manageable for a lot of teams. You know, the early owners that we've sold the boat to are kind of friend teams or, you know, father-son or father-daughter sort of teams. And so it's a really kind of fun, cool boat that is available to a lot of people. And so what we're hoping is that a lot more people get interested in double-handed sailing, and our boat helps them get interested and kind of gets them over the hump of entry. And so for races like the Ida Lewis race, we're just hoping to see people do that kind of racing more and more.
Well, speaking of the Juneau Sunfast 3300, it is Sailing World's boat of the year for 2020, which is pretty cool, especially since the year's only half over. But I was looking at the description on JuneauAmerica.com, and it says, combining the light hull with twin rudders, carbon rig, generous sail plan, and straight keel. So what is that when you kind of think everything that... you know, that there's no new ideas. Well, there are new ideas, and you guys thought of them. What is it about the combination of those things I just subscribed that make it so fast?
Yeah, I mean, there. You know, the sport of sailing is always evolving. And, you know, everybody's, you know, coming up with new ideas. And as designers, we challenge ourselves to, you know, apply those concepts in new and fresher ways. You know, for example, when they talk about the straight keel, one of the things that's, you know, been the fashion for a long time in race boats is having the keel with a separate bulb, whereas in the 3300 the boat doesn't have a bulb, and that's advantageous for a lot of reasons. Primarily, it's great in terms of getting as good a rating as we can, but it's also good in terms of keeping the drag down. Our boat is primarily designed to be a reaching and running boat for point-to-point races, and so when you put all those things together, you build up a fast, fun, planing hulled boat that's really easy for a shorthanded team to handle, but it still delivers sort of the the fun and thrill of a, you know, a big high-tech offshore boat. So that's kind of that's what we're going for, is just apply the concepts that the sport of sailing has been learning along the way.
You have two or more entries in the Ida Lewis race with this boat. Can you tell us a little bit about the double-handed sailing that's going to be happening in the upcoming race?
Sure. Yeah. Well, we're really excited about the Ida Lewis race. You know, I've had the pleasure of doing it 3 times in my life. Always on big boats, never double-handed, and I know that it's one of the most fun events you can do in the Newport in the summertime. This year, we've been lucky enough to sell 3 boats into the New England region. One of them is going to be raced by a father-son team. Another boat's going to be raced by kind of 2 buddies who have done a lot of sailing together, and they're, you know, looking to sort of take the next step in their sailing journey. The third is our factory boat, and we have a sponsored team that's going to be racing the boat on our behalf before that boat transfers to its final owner. And we've been working on that boat with Penny Reed, the president of North Sales Group, and he's really helped us out a lot with, you know, a lot of tuning and tweaks and those sorts of things that are going to help us sort of gear the boat specifically to the North American market. So it's been a really good partnership, and the Ida Lewis race is sort of the final event and send-off of it, so we're really looking for it to be quite a fun event.
Got more questions from Mike Coe with Jeannot America. You're right there in Annapolis, so when you get out there on Chesapeake Bay, do you ever bump into the Naval Academy and have like a little naval battle with them?
You know what? I'm actually, you know, pretty good friends with the coach of the Naval Academy offshore sailboat racing team, and so we've been known to line up with them a couple times and try and blow their doors off. But they keep pretty good practice, so it's always a challenge.
Well, speaking of blowing doors off on a boat, when you're racing, you're actually doing what that is equivalent to that blowing doors off? How would you describe that?
You mean in terms of sort of setting the boat up and those sorts of things?
Well, you're out there racing. You got the wind. You're working with each other's sails. Some are blocking others so that they don't get as much wind as others. What are some of the contests that go on the water?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the important parts of sailboat racing are getting the boat set up right. And so you have to understand, you know, the parameters of what your boat is able to do. You know, like, you know, it'd be like racing a car and you need to know, you know, what the limits of the transmission is, what the safe RPMs of the motor are, those sorts of things. So, you know, good sailboat racing is all about preparation and knowing what your boat can do. And then when you get out on the water, maximizing those opportunities. So, you know, it's all about preparation, learning what the tuning is and applying that on the water. And then once you get into the, you know, boat versus boat stuff, and you start taking each other's wind or boxing out another boat, that just adds another element to it.
You know, I know we're talking about the 3300, but I was just taking a look at the Jeannot 64, which is an amazing craft, because it looks like a luxury yacht, and yet it's a sailboat, and it has like a roll bar under the boom. I mean, is this thing like flying the space shuttle?
Well, so the Jeannot 64 is a really fantastic, remarkable boat. You know, when it came along, it was one of the first boats to, you know, kind of give that big multi-million dollar, you know, super luxury yacht feel. And put it into the Jeannot production method, you know, the way that we manufacture boats in a high volume to sort of keep the cost down. So what's great about the Jeannot 64 is that you're in the lap of luxury, but not at a really high price point. So, you know, that boat's super popular. People love it. It's great. That arch that you're seeing is that's a way of keeping the main sheet above the cockpit floor. So, you know, the main sheet, which controls the large sail on the rig, that can sometimes be, you know, if you're a racer, you want to have good control of it. So you want to keep your eye on it in the cockpit. If you're a cruising customer, you don't want it kind of you know, whipping around the cockpit, maybe being dangerous. So we like to put that up on top of the arch to keep it out of the way. And the Jeux 64 has a really cool, you know, futuristic way of making that happen. So it's a really cool feature you point out there. We love that boat.
You know, I'm also looking at the, I went to your website for the SunFast 3300, and I haven't seen this boat. And I can't get a brochure without talking to a dealer. So I'm going to have to talk to you because I've got you on hand. So how, what's the length overall? What is the way in which it's rigged for double handing? I you know, I'm a sailor, so I'm interested in the details.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's a, so it's a 33-foot boat. You know, in Europe, they would say it's 10 meter. It's about 11 foot 3 wide, and the draw is 6.5 feet. The rig height, you know, the luff length of the mainsail is almost exactly 12 meters and has a big square top mainsail, you know, really big, generous jib. And we have a masthead asymmetric spinnaker on a long fixed bowsprit. When you add it all up, the boat is just, you know, super fun to sail. What's really fun, especially for double handing, you know, where you don't have, say, you know, eight guys hiking on the rail. On this boat, we have a water ballast system that gives us the, you know, the riding moment that you would get from all those guys hiking. You know, we the amount of water that we put in on the windward side of the boat roughly adds up to about 450 pounds. So it's like having three people sitting legs out. But you don't have to buy them crew dinners or buy them a hotel room. You know, it's just water that you can just throw overboard when you're done with it. So that's really cool. And having the twin rudders is really nice. So when you're, you know, when the boat's in its element, sort of pressed up on a hard reach, screaming along at, you know, 15 to 18 knots, something like that, you know, you don't have to ease the sails off to relieve the pressure. Having the leeward rudder vertical means that you can keep the boat, you know, loaded up and rocking. And what's really cool about it is, you know, if you're, say, in a PHRF fleet or something and you have a long spinnaker reach, you're just going straight, staying loaded up, while some of your competition maybe has to shorten sail or bear off to keep the boat on its feet. So there's a lot of cool features about our boat that really separate it from the field and really make it much easier for a double-handed team to get on and manage.
There he is, Mike Coe, and as you can tell, he's the product specialist for Jeux America. They are the title sponsor this year for the Ida Lewis Distance Race, which will take place a couple of weeks into August up there in Newport, Rhode Island. Mike, thanks for your time, man. Sounds like you're going to have a fun summer here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I'm currently bringing a boat up from the southern part of the Chesapeake Bay to the northern part, so hopefully there wasn't too much noise.
No, it sounded
great to
absolutely
have
great.
You.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And Karen, I just real quick, I know that you can order the Jeux 64 in a deep sea keel or a shoal keel. You have to beware of what's underneath you, don't you?
Yes. Usually there are shorter keels available for the shallower waters. It depends upon where you're sailing.
There it is. Thanks for the time, Karen, and we'll see you next week, kid.
We'll see ya.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Sports Pilot.